Hello, and welcome back to Idol Talk. In this week's episode, we get into the songs that are at the top of our playlist and should be added to yours. We have Rosario by Epic High featuring CL and Zico, End of the World by Epic High featuring G-Soul, Let Me In, 20 Cube by Enhypen, and Love Die Young by Eric Nam. From older groups to new groups, we got you covered with the K-Pops.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Idol Talk, where we explore South Korean pop culture, one obsession at a time. My name is Nathan, and I'm your host.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley, the editor for Idol Talk, and I'm so happy that Red Velvet's Russian roulette dance has become popular again on TikTok, indirectly. God. So for the listeners, there's like a viral TikTok dance to Red Velvet's, Russian Roulette, but they're not using the Russian Roulette audio. They're using this audio, and I'm gonna just insert it. Have you guys seen it?
Oh, but the regular audio is so good.
I know.
And I'm angry.
Have you guys seen it?
Yeah, I saw it.
I watched the clips that you sent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. There's so many random people doing it, like not even knowing that it's Red Velvet's song that they're dancing to. Right?
But they're still doing like the movements.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't even know.
Yeah.
But I like it. Incept them.
Anyways, Casey?
Hey everyone, it's Casey, resident crybaby, and congratulations to my girls Dreamcatcher on their comeback, Dystopia Road to Utopia.
Wow.
The album unboxing will be on our IG whenever my album arrives from Music Plaza.
You can do one with Gabe, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, we'll do it. We could do it like the way we did the Resonance album unboxing.
Yes. Wait, I need to know, did you buy the cape? And the light stick.
I can't figure out how to buy those yet. I don't think they're out because this was a pre-sale for the album is what I bought.
I just want to see you like in full summoning gear.
No. Rest assured that I fully intend to purchase the cloak or whatever it is.
It's a cloak.
It's a cloak. Yeah, it's got like a hood and it's like floor length, so it's a cloak. I fully intend to purchase the cloak as well as the light staff. And I'm going to haunt my house. I'm going to wander around my white suburban neighborhood in this cloak and staff while I walk
just
my dogs.
Like, you That's shall it. Not pass.
Oh my god, should I start making cringe TikTok videos with my cloak and light staff?
Dude, yes.
That might be my niche.
Yeah.
You know, they always say that like light sticks already look ritualistic. Like, whoa. Oh, the Dreamcatcher one just like hits.
Is taking it to another level. It's a cult.
Yes.
And I'm fully in it.
Right. Thank you, Casey. We also are so glad to have Chris back with us. Chris, did you want to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hello, everyone. I'm Chris, co-host, and I came back just to tell you guys that there is a sequel to my G-Dragon dream. He came back to me.
I forgot about that.
And sadly, I did too. But let me tell you, I remember the feeling, okay? So I'm here just to tell you that this plot line, like I told the group the morning that it happened, the plot line was a good one, okay? It was a good K-drama. And it's definitely more happy, more butterflies in my stomach, more optimistic for our future as a couple.
Wow.
So, I love that.
That's what I do remember.
You're speaking it into existence.
Yes.
Chris, did I ever send you that TikTok video that was like, it was the person at the altar and then they were like, excuse me, and they turn around.
Yes.
And it was like a K-pop person and they like ran, like they like eloped or they ran out of the altar. I think I'm going to repost it to the IG account because those TikToks really speak to me.
You know what? Maybe it is fate that my wedding might get postponed. Who knows? I'm going to leave it up to there.
G-Dragon, if you're listening, you still have a shot.
You still have time.
Do not miss your shot.
Don't be like Changmin. Anyways.
Yeah. Do not. Whoa, 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 whoa.
I can't believe you went there.
I had just gotten over that like a week ago.
Well,
okay, let's move on. I can't
have this conversation anymore.
All right, thank you.
That POV.
Thank you, everyone, for those introductions. To our listeners, don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Idol Talk Pod, and rate, review, and subscribe to us on Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Amazon Podcasts, and also Pandora. If you have any feedback that you'd like us consider, don't forget to email us at idoltalkpod@gmail.com. And we also have our content directory, idoltalkpod.uwu.ai, where you can find an itemized list of previous episodes that are categorized. And also, you can find this in our description of the episode today. And remember, as we jump into our K-bops for this cycle, you can also find a complete playlist in the description, as well as the timestamps to our individual recommendations. And we are so glad to our listeners, and thankful to the listeners, that we've reached 10,000 downloads. Woo-hoo! So in light of that, we wanted to do another giveaway. So go ahead and see our at Idol Talk Pod Instagram post on how to participate. We're going to be giving away a Resonance Part 2 NCT album.
Yes!
And the winner is going to be announced on our 57th episode.
There'll be two winners.
Yeah. There will be two winners. Yep. We have two albums ready to give away. And don't forget that submissions will close on February 5th. So we kind of just wanted to go around and give our thanks to the listeners. So Ashley, did you want to start us off?
Yeah, I'll start. So I think we started this podcast in June 2019.
Yeah.
And since we started, we've met so many cool people. Like, not in person, but a lot of people have reached out to us to talk to us about our episodes, to hear what we have to say about certain comebacks or feedback. So it's been really cool having this platform so we can meet people all over the world. Like, we get responses a lot from India, Asia, Europe, some in Central America, some in South America. So I'm grateful for all of you, and I'm excited to talk more about K-pop and talk more with you guys.
Awesome. Casey?
So when I first started like getting into K-pop the way that we consume this content now, I didn't know that like I knew people who were also into K-pop. Mm. So I was very much alone. So when I discovered that Ashley was into it, and then she brought Chris into our K-drama watch group,
yeah,
and then expanded my network of friends with Nathan, it just like enriched my life. And when we decided to start this podcast, I didn't really think that like anything would come of it. I only wanted to do it so that I would have people to talk to in an organized way about different things. And like,
still is,
yeah,
that.
Because like I live in Dallas, and I'm the only one who like lives in the state of like all of my friends. So it is lonely, but mm-hmm. since we started this, like my friend network hasn't just been limited to like our group now. It's also like grown. Like I talk to a listener from Norway like from time to time, and I'm like, this is so cool that like I can just have a convo with someone that I would never necessarily like cross paths
with. That is the beauty of K-pop after all.
Yeah. And it's not just like, yes, K-pop is becoming global now, but like so is like my worldview. I would say I'm not necessarily just Yeah, it's really nice. So thank you, everyone, for giving us 10,000 downloads. I never, ever thought that anyone would listen to this pod. And I'm kind of embarrassed that people do. Please don't hold me accountable for anything I say. But please continue to listen to us.
Awesome. Thanks, Casey. Chris?
I remember knowing when we were serious about the pod was after the BTS concert, and Ashley and Nathan would not stop talking in and out about.
Oh my God, the in and out. Yes, night. I forgot all about
after our 3 mile walk.
Yeah, to In-N-Out, Nathan basically. Would be like, "Okay, we need to figure this out. Okay, we need to talk about this," and even before that, in waiting at the Rose Bowl parking lot, waiting for our Uber that never showed up.
Oh my stole God. Our $200 Lyft.
And it's just, yeah, almost $200 Lyft. Thank you, Lyft, for refunding me for that money. But it's just crazy to think that that's like, we started there just because we wanted to talk, right? Just because we thought, oh, we finally have a connection between all of us. And now the fact that people are connecting with us, like it's grown to that part. That now there's people outside of this group, outside of this country, you know, outside of the state, our respective states that are connecting with us, that's kind of mind-blowing to me.
People know our names. People give a shit.
No. No one cares.
Don't give a shit about us.
Y'all, I'm a teacher. I'm boring. And to see y'all starting to follow me on Instagram, like, that's kind of like, ooh, like, okay, maybe I can be somebody thanks to you guys.
Oh, I stay on private because I am ashamed of I don't promote our – for the listeners who don't know, I don't promote our podcast, much like Nathan doesn't listen to the podcast nor promote it.
Wow, way to throw me under right there with you.
Nathan, until you listen to the podcast, I will never stop bringing it up.
I record it. It happens.
Okay, fine.
I do want to say this real quick. I remember starting the pod too and telling my coworkers about it, and they had doubts. Okay? They were like, oh, you're probably just marketing out in South Korea, right? Like, oh, you're probably just like, no one's going to listen to it here in America. Well, thank you, listeners, because now I can say a big F you and show them all of you guys that love us so much. So, yes.
Yeah. So I also just want to say thank you to all of the listeners. And it's been, I think we know that we still have a lot to work on, and we're going to continue to try to improve and produce better content for you all. But thanks for hanging in there with us, and we hope that you are here for many, many, many more episodes. But to get the core of our episode started today, we're back with an episode of K-Bops, and since Chris is making her comeback after like her mini albums coming out or something, she's got something brewing.
My hiatus.
Chris, you got a single out or something?
Yes, and I will tell you what, I'm coming back with a K-bop. K-bop that is that starts off 2021. Mm-hmm. It really, you know, got it going to a good start for this as far as the K-pop world. So my rec for this episode is going to be Rosario by Epic High, CL, featuring CL and Zico.
Don't want your prayers, don't want your roses. Ain't no one dying today. Out of my way, I am a legend and I'm here to stay. Did it my way, I keep my love in that kitty today. Because they leave me on out there in the rain. Mighty Monday, ain't no one giving up what you say.
And the main thing I want to say is I am a legend and I am here to stay.
And you don't give a fuck what they say?
Yes. That is okay. So y'all know that I have my songs that I love to play on repeat while I'm doing squats or while I'm doing hip thrusts. Like, I don't know. It's just become a thing now that there's one certain song that I always just put on repeat while I'm doing this. And Rosario has become that song. Like that lyric specifically stood out to me. Musically, it has such a it's kind of funny how subtle the Latin beats are in it, but I love it. But it's also, I was watching the music video and it makes sense also with like a hotel song vibe, because you know how they're playing in the music video the song in the hotel as they're walking through the hallways, or DJ Tukuts is walking through the hallway. So it kind of, I don't know how to describe that sound.
It's like almost eerie, but not really eerie in like a spooky way, more like an enchanting type of way.
Yeah, that's, yeah, an enchanting way. And then you have the, like, Latin, like, the trumpets along in the chorus, too. Mm-hmm. And then it's just, okay, now I'm speaking in regards to the music video. I don't know why. I find it so funny to watch Tableau just be, like, K-pop idol when I think of him so much as, like, my uncle.
Yeah.
And then,
oh my god, he's not that old.
I was gonna ask how old he is.
Oof. I don't know. I know Haru's, like, 12 because I'm a big fan of Haru. She's, like, already a teenager, I think. Let me look.
They've real been quick. Active for, like,
17 years.
Nearly 2 decades.
Yeah.
So long.
17 years that they've been active. This is their...
He's 40.
Actually, I don't want to... He's 40?
1980.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, he's my uncle. So it's just funny to watch him be, like, all, like, K-pop idol-like in the music videos. Mithra totally pulls off that mob boss look. I loved it. DJ Tokuts, same thing. He looked really good in a suit, but, like, it's kind of like the same thing as Tableau. Like, it's kind of like, you're my uncle. Like, stop being like, who do you think you are? Like, you're a K-pop idol. Like, no, take that off.
Whatever, Chris. You love the Ajushi energy.
I do.
That is documented on the pod and on IG.
But, I just lost my train of thought. But, yeah, it's a good song to kick off 2021. Epic High, I'm really glad that you're here. Literally, as noted by your album.
Yeah.
Awesome. It seems like a lot of other Casey and Ashley both like the album as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for sure. My rec this week is also from the same album.
Oh, so do you just want to tell listeners what song that was?
Yeah. So I'll just transition into it since we're sharing the same album to recommend, Chris.
Yes.
So my recommendation this week is "End of the World" by Epic High featuring Jisoo. Above me, nobody else you prefer. Cause we got this thing I wanna trust. Even if it falls apart, I want you to love me like it's the end of the world. I guess I kind of structured my notes in a more like history type of way, just because I don't know if we have like documentation like of what we've recommended in the past, but off the top of my head, I don't know if we recommended Epic High before, and I don't have any memories, so I can't say that with any accuracy.
I don't think we did.
So
I don't think we did either.
So I'll go ahead and cover like the
background.
All like the album and the background. Okay. Yeah. So like as Chris said, they're a trio and they've been active for a long time. They debuted in 2003 under Woollim, and then from 2012 to 2018 they were under YG, and now they're under a company called WME Entertainment. It's an American company based in Beverly Hills, California, and they also represent Adele, Rihanna, Bruno Mars, just to name a few. So yes, they are among heavy hitters. Legends. I would say that this is the career trajectory that the Asian Americans that we kind of clown sometimes in a loving way. this is the career that they wish they had. And the song features Jisoo, who is a South Korean R&B singer that was also formerly... Oh no, they're formerly JYP. And now he's under Higher Music. And he actually went through a rebrand. He used to be known as Golden, and now he's Jisoo. But he was Jisoo previously. I don't know what went on with the whole like stage name change, but I think I like Jisoo better. It sounds cooler.
I think I do too. Yeah,
it fits the R&B more. So,
yes, I agree. So like Chris's coverage for Rosario, End of the World is off of their comeback album, Epic High Is Here, which released on January 18th, 2021, so like just a few days ago as of this recording. And it's actually part one of a double album. They said that there's a part two coming, which is going to be a shock and a surprise.
Ooh.
According to Tableau's podcast, but they don't have like a firm date
yeah.
or gave any indication of when it'll
be. Did you
be
listen
out.
To the podcast? Oh I my did. God, oh, I was so excited.
I need you too.
Yeah.
It's just a special. Yeah. He's not coming
I
back.
I love the Tableau podcast with all my heart. And I don't love it so much that I was going to re-listen back. But there were moments where I missed him. And I was like, I want to listen to his voice and just have him bullshit again.
So, yeah, he was telling the members that, like, Dive, I don't know if he was just, like, teasing Dive Studios or what. But he was saying that Dive asked him to, like, resume the podcast or come back, and he was saying like no, and then he said that Dive Studio said we'll be lost without you, like you're our best podcast or whatever. And I was like, maybe he's just teasing, but it's hard to tell because he was speaking Korean with like a really straight face when he was telling the other members the story.
Oh,
so it's hard to gauge.
You watched the video the one with Ebikai?
Yeah, I watched the one with Epic High. A lot of my notes are based on that podcast just because they kind of go in depth of each track. So it kind of gave me a better idea of like the song that I'm recommending's message because it's kind of confusing and I'll get into why. So the what drew me to the song originally was the chorus with Jisoo where he says I want you to love me like it's the end of the world. No one else above me, nobody else you prefer. And there's like three things that you need to know about me is I have no memory. Two, I'm predictable. And three, I am a simp. I love songs that are about intense love because I'm in love all the time. And so when I looked at the lyrics themselves, the message was not necessarily like they're in love with someone or it's even about love in general, because it's more of a commentary on like the pandemic and like society, like the global society as a whole, like what everyone is universal experience is like right now.
I don't understand.
So so you know, like before the pandemic hit, Epic High was supposed to do Coachella and they were supposed to go on a world tour. So throughout their album, Epic High is Here, their message for the reason they named it Epic High is Here is because they're saying, first off, we're here, like they survived two decades of being a group through ups and downs and with a changing industry that's like constantly changing. But also they want to say that like Epic High is here for you, because the album is like such a wide variety of different types of songs and genres, because they are reflecting on the ups and downs of like the past year.
Interesting.
So yeah, so the song, as according to their like the Tableau podcast special episode with their fellow members, he said that the feeling of the song relates to the pandemic because like it's the end of the world in the sense that life isn't what it used to be. And even after, like, we all go back to normal, it's never going to look the same as it was, like, pre-pandemic.
Oof.
And Mithra said that while everything is starting to get better, the point that he was trying to make with the song was that he's questioning if we're moving in the right direction for humanity.
Ooh.
And are we responding to this global crisis in the right way?
Like, how so?
So there's this, there's like a recurring idea that pops up throughout the lyrics of this song. And it's like both feeling a distance from religion or faith, but also feeling a distance from the people in charge who are like supposed to create laws and policies that protect the people. I don't know necessarily if it's limited to just South Korean like society, but I saw a lot of parallels to like what's going on here in America as well. So they were saying
Tableau is did study out here too. I think he was born out here. I know he for sure went to Stanford out here.
Oh yeah. I don't know what his like background is necessarily. But what they were saying is, but that was like Mithra's I actually, they both had lyrics that touched on it, because Tablo has a line that says, "I don't need a priest, I need a goddamn law degree." And then Mithra has a line that says, "Can't find God, doubts full of more than faith." Huh. So
this is getting deep.
Oh no, I take that back. Hold on. Let me correct myself. Tablo is not American. He's Canadian.
Oh.
He did go to Stanford though, but he is Canadian. Mm. Apologies.
Ooh, so many Canadians in K-pop. Love that. Oh, okay. I have this interesting note from the podcast where they said that while they were witnessing like the pandemic play out in the early days, they were wondering if it was going to be like a Netflix zombie movie, but instead they witnessed emotional and economic devastation across the globe. And they also, like, from my analysis, thanks to what's that one website? Oh, Genius Lyrics. Love Genius Lyrics on the pod. So the analysis of the song is like about how societies like favor the wealthy and how the justice system is corrupt. And Mithra has a line where he says,
"There's so many things that they're talking about in this song.
It's so deep.
Yeah, they're.
I'm having trouble following. They're very.
It's hard to like really explain and condense because the concepts are like. That's why I was confused with the song before I listened to the podcast, was because the chorus says, "I want you to love me like it's the end of the world," but the content of like each of the like members like raps are more like about like a criticism of society and the structures that we live within our different societies or whatever. So Mithra has a line where he says, "Even if you commit the same crime, the weight of the crimes are different." And I'm not going to pretend to know what goes on in South Korean's justice system or how their society really works outside of the scope of my K-pop and K-drama life. But I do know that line is really relevant to how American politics and American justice system works out. So especially in recent history, I was like, when I like read this analysis, I was like, holy crap, like this is a line that's more relevant like to us now than like any other lyrics that I've really consumed from South Korean artists.
I like 100% need to give this a re-listen, especially after
I just didn't realize it hits different.
Interesting that those topics like we're having very similar conversations here in America, but those topics are like also being had in their own given countries too. Like this, like we think because we're in America, it might be exclusive to us, but it's not. It's like, it's everywhere.
So So just to, cause Ashley, you were commenting how like the whole song, like just the lyrics were so complex. So Tablo, you know, Epic High, they're all very, they always write very complex songs. Tablo actually got a bachelor's degree in English literature from Stanford and a master's degree in creative writing from Stanford.
Wow. So this all makes sense.
Yeah. So he, and you know, he, I remember him talking on the podcast about how like he would, being in his Stanford days, and like that's what like helped him to write lyrics, or I don't know, maybe I'm making a connection on my own, but it really does like show through in the lyrics and like the ways he talks about songs in previous albums too. They get very, very deep.
Yeah, it's like, it's really interesting since we have talked in the past on the pod about how there's a lot of art being born out of the pandemic and in different ways, because like right now, everyone in the world is being affected by this and has been affected by this for like the past year in different but like really parallel ways. And so we're seeing artists either try to distract us from the sadness or whatever with like an upbeat healing song. Some artists are going in Epic High's direction where they're criticizing the institution or reflecting on the loneliness and emotions that people are going through.
Poetry.
And there's people who are like, or like TXT's We Lost the Summer, where it's like a bittersweet little upbeat melancholy feel to the mm-hmm. pandemic and response to that. It's just, I really like it, and it's gonna definitely define this point in history mm-hmm. for like mm-hmm. years to come.
I just find it crazy that we're already at a point in the pandemic where it's gone on long enough that now art is coming out yeah. about it. Yeah.
Yeah. True. In our quarantines episode, I really thought that was going to be the only episode that we talked about it. So it's kind of depressing that like almost a year later from that episode, we're here. Like, should we do a quarantines follow-up?
We could do a quarantines too, probably.
Yeah.
We should just section these episodes on the content directory, episodes during quarantine.
Right?
Oh my God. What? Yeah. Like, which is most of our catalog.
I remember, like, at the beginning of quarantine, I kept telling you guys, too, because I remember being so amazed by how fast society was, like, adapting to the pandemic, too. Like, all the music shows stopped having audiences.
Live audiences.
We're transitioning to virtual concerts. And I remember being so amazed at, like, technology and the speed. And I remember saying, like, we should do a pandemic episode. But you guys were like, no, we're still in it right now. Like, we can't do a recap if it's not over.
That's true. I was one of the ones that was pushing against that because I was like, right now it's too real. Let's just wait till this blows over and then we can reflect on it. And then, wow.
See you later. We're still over.
Yeah.
No.
So maybe next year we'll do a recap.
Well, I really got to give this another. I've listened to it very surface level, so I would need to re.
I did.
Well,
too.
it's also like very beautiful sounding, mm-hmm. and the beat and the melody belies the deeper mm-hmm. meaning, which is why I was confused upon like looking it up. And I had it on repeat over and over just for that chorus because I was like, "Oh my God, I'm in love too." Wow, I felt stupid.
Well, maybe that's what they wanted you to take from it, you know? Like, the English part, at least. Interpret it in your own way.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, here's my final note on the album as a whole. I love that the album had genuine emotion for every track, whether they're hitting it hard with the beat and getting you pumped up to work out, or they're having you reflect on your life and the society at large. It's melancholy, but it's not without hope.
Oh, wow.
That's cute.
That's perfect.
Bow, bow, bow. That's me practicing my writing.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Aren't you in a creative writing class currently?
Yeah. What? I'm doing workshops.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. One of my life goals is to write a novel, so I'm just making it happen since I'm still in lockdown. I don't want to come out of this lockdown with nothing to show
for
it.
It's a perfect
time. So I'm desperately adding like 500 copies.
I mean, I guess because you haven't started anything, so.
It's true. The first 3 months of lockdown, I was playing Animal Crossing, so I did nothing.
Well, I mean, there was a lot that you accomplished on that game, so don't pat it's yourself true. On yeah. the back. It's the little things, Casey.
I have millions of bells. Millions of.
Well, I'm sure back? A lot of people can relate to that.
I haven't gone back because now I just have so many other hobbies. Like I have 50 plants, you guys.
Damn.
So dang. I mean,
you have work.
Yeah.
All yeah, right.
I do have work.
Well.
Sorry, that was a tangent.
Listeners, epic high. Seems like they hit it out of the park. Ashley, did you want to give your recommendation?
Yes. So my recommendation is on a much, much, much lighter note.
Same
because
here.
You, because you know that I like to consume music very surface level. So in... My recommendation is from Enhypen's debut album, Border Day One, that released on November 30th, and it's their B-side, Let Me In 20 Cube. Mm-hmm. bought the Enhypen album and I listened to the whole thing when it came out, but I didn't really care for this song. And I'm only caring for it now because this past weekend I went to LA and I visited Sammy, and Sammy like only listens to Enhypen.
What? There's only like four songs.
I know, she like loves the Enhypen members, loves watching their videos, loves listening to their songs.
Oh, I like
and
that.
And so she, like, the whole weekend we were listening to Enhypen, and I had like, I heard the album, but I literally never thought twice about any song except like now. So
Give and Taken is a bop. I love that.
I didn't like their debut track because it's dark concept, and then after that it was like, okay, I don't care for anything anymore. Like, I don't care for them. I mean, I still watch the TikToks, but anyway. So 20 Cube is their B-side, and they came out with a music video for it. And prior to this recording, I was doing research, and I'm sorry to all the Eggies, the Engines, whatever, if my research isn't complete, but it's like, you know how Big Hit and BTS has like parallel universes, there's multiple storylines and the different versions, like that's how deep this Enhypen music video was going. So the music video, I know, it's like,
it's too much.
It's getting into the theories of K-pop and like the lore, and I just don't give a shit. But anyway, so I'll summarize what I know. So Let Me In is like it's like a upbeat song about like getting into a relationship and then like fantasize or like being happy about, oh my god, let me just fucking read genius lyrics for the summary, because they do it so well. I'm not good with words.
My favorite line in the song is the one where they have like, I want to be your boyfriend, or
yeah,
let me be your boyfriend, yeah, or something like that. Yeah. That's my favorite line.
I know,
Nikki, I don't know why.
15 years old, saying that he wants to be my boyfriend. Like, okay, so Let Me In is a song with excitement about those who desire to enter a new world of fantasy into the space of the person they love. That was said by a member. Ooh. So that was a great summary, because I could not have summarized it that eloquently. But so the second part of the title track is 20 Cube, and 20 Cube is in reference to an aquarium, a 20-gallon aquarium. So in the music video, you'll see the members like in a museum, and they're like looking around the museum, and then suddenly like it switches to them being in an exhibit. Like they are in the 20 Cube. Like they are the, yeah, so 20 Cube is like, Casey stepped away for all the listeners, so I'm just gonna like explain this one. I'm sorry. She went to the bathroom. 20 Cube is in reference. 20 Cube is in reference to a 20-gallon tank. Like an aquarium. And so in the music video, they are like looking around the museum, and then suddenly they become part of the exhibit. And that's where it gets like really weird with the theories and like the lore. So anyway, that's all the research that I did about it. Figure if the listeners know what the complete story is around 20 Cube and the lore. Oh, it also connects to the vampire stuff from Give and Taken. It gets weird, honestly, but I'm not into it, but I like the song. It's a bop.
I think it's really interesting that B-Lift decided to go in this direction with their rookie group. I would say it's fairly experimental.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean by in this direction? Like, going into all these lores and like storylines, or?
Yeah, like they're focusing right now on world building, the lore behind Enhypen, and also they're making it kind of like mythical and complex unnecessarily.
Yeah. I remember, so listeners, if you go to our Instagram, Casey and I bought the Enhypen album and we unboxed it together on the Instagram, and in the album, I have it in front of me. In the album, on top of the album, there are these like clear plastic projector slide sheets, like projector slides, literally. Oh. And there's 7 of them. And on each slide, it has a different word. And I'll read you these words right now. It says calling, sun, spotlight, proof, turning point, new world. Like, what the fuck do those words, like, what is the meaning behind those words?
I feel like this is the Da Vinci Code.
I know. Right?
I don't even know how to use them.
It is a little strange for rookie groups to have these complex of topics. Or
yeah.
Because, like, when you think of where all the theories are written from, it's with groups that have been here a little bit longer, so their fans are a little bit more
established.
So then they will go like head over heels to,
you know,
figure out what's, you know, what's the writing on the wall.
It definitely does seem like an old K-pop type of thing, like EXO, BTS, like all that world building that Casey said. So maybe they're trying to like channel that and bring that type of K-pop back. But I also just realized that in our last episode, new groups, like none of the groups that we covered in that episode got deep with their lore. Like, they were all so surface level with their information. You know, weekly, Monday, daily, like, all very obvious things. And none of them had, like, a backstory that was deep.
You know what I just thought of right now, too, is that those groups also, they weren't able to win as much on music shows, right? And then I remember listening to an episode and Gabe was saying that they weren't able to promote as much. I think it was a girl group that he was talking about that they couldn't promote, and that's why something bad was going on. So I'm thinking right now, like, maybe they're doing all this world building because it keeps the fans intrigued in a way. And it kind of keeps them... It keeps them busy, I guess is the best way I could say it. Because we're not going to get concerts. We're not going to get, you know, full-on music shows. We're not going to get, like, real fan meetings. So at least the fans have something to develop, to something to build their love for and hype in.
Yeah, something to keep them in the world engaged that they're creating.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. But I think that, like, this in-depth concept type of push also was pre-pandemic. Like, a lot of groups were doing that. It's just so much. I never got into, like, the theories and those weeds. But I always appreciated the people that would, like, come out with, like, 15-minute YouTube videos and, like, essays and essays-long dissertations about that. I love it. So
y'all keep going. Please keep them coming. If you all got a cheat sheet for the BTS world, I'm still trying to make sense of that.
Well, see, that's the thing. That's where all of the... I think they were kind of the ones that really were so in-depth about every little thing had a meaning, right?
Yeah. That's true. Maybe
it gave fans something to do.
It's a big hit thing.
Well, okay, so I was going to ask a question. So they're acquired by Big Hit, but they're under BLIFT. How does that work?
Big Hit is their umbrella.
Uh-huh.
And time out. It's Big Hit and CJNM, right? They're married.
Oh,
and okay. their child is BLIFT. And BLIFT has an hyphen.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense.
I like that explanation. It's clear.
that makes sense. I was just like, okay. Where's the influence coming from? So
it's probably Big Hit.
But still,
that's what makes sense.
But still, oh my gosh, why did I just blank on his name? Big Hit CEO. Oh my gosh, I just blanked on his name. PD? No, Bang PD. So he had like a lot to do. He was very, very involved with Enhypen.
Thanks, Chris. So yeah, thanks for clarifying that. I was just kind of confused because I didn't watch the show. And if you want to know why, go back to episode Unpopular Opinions. All right, so I'm last. I'll go really quick. I've been kind of out of the loop for a little bit, so I was catching up on some new releases, and then but also found out that today is Eric Nam's we're recording this, it's going to be January 23rd, and that's when he debuted, and it's his 8th anniversary, so he's been in the game for quite a while now.
He survived the 7-year curse.
He did survive the 7-year curse. And as a solo artist, too. He didn't start out as a group. He started out as a solo artist. Mm-hmm. So I think that's super cool. And I wanted to celebrate his career. And I wanted to recommend a song from his. So the K-Bop's recommendation that I have this time is Love Die Young.
Maybe I'm the one that we should blame for never thinking we'd end up this way. I don't need answers. I need you to stay, stay. Please don't let this love die young. Please don't let this love die young. If I'm gonna lose someone, don't let it be you. Please don't let this love die young. Please don't let this love die young. If I'm gonna love someone, then let it be you.
All right, so this was a song, and I picked this one also because I was so excited to see this song live.
I was just going to say, like, Nathan, like...
Like, this was one of the songs that I was super, super looking forward to hearing because, like, Eric is a ballad singer, but he's kind of experimented with, like, different styles. He's kind of tried more dance pop, K-pop, traditional songs... He's always done, you know, he's done ballads, but like when he came up with the song, I was like, this is the type of music that Eric is supposed to be making. This mm-hmm. is his strength. Mm-hmm. This is why people like him, right? So one of my favorite parts about the song, well, okay, so this came out as one of his first English, full English album. Mm-hmm. And it was off of his album title called Before We Begin. It came out prior to the pandemic, and he was supposed to do a whole world tour. But I remember when I was listening to this song, I was like, I was kind of just like hit by a bullet because the lyrics, okay, let me go ahead and read them. The chorus goes, all right, let me pull it up. You know, please don't let this love die young. Please don't let this love die young. If I'm gonna lose someone, don't let it be you. Please don't let this love die young. Please don't let this love die young. If I'm gonna love someone, then let it be you. I was like, Eric, who is this person that you are talking to? I want to know.
Well, I think I know, actually. It's not a person. It's in reference to music itself.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, back when he released that album, he was I think he did an episode on K-pop Daybok where he talked about it. And I remember him saying he went through like a dark time prior to that, like kind of like a, not like a midlife crisis, but kind of like mm-hmm. an identity crisis. And it's like, what am I doing here? Do I even like this kind of stuff?
After school club transition out.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Maybe. So I think it was, okay, I don't remember exactly. So listeners, go back to that episode and figure out if that was the real meaning. But from what I remember back pre-pandemic, I think that was it.
I will corroborate you, Ashley, because I also remember a similar thing.
Yeah.
A similar thing that he said. It was like this crossroads that he was at with music.
Yeah, and I mean, he's had such a long career, you know, and he's always had to work for his success, right? So he can't just, mm-hmm. like a lot of groups, put something out and people are going to automatically listen to it,
mm-hmm.
right? He has to put out some really quality stuff. And I think this was one of the high... Like, this is my favorite Eric Nam song. I'm just waiting for the day where we can be in a concert hall again. And everyone's just going to be singing this. He's going to sing the song. And then we're going to do this. We're going to do this chorus a cappella at the end. We're just going to sing it.
Oh, with our cell phone lights.
Oh,
Yep, that's what that's gonna be. That's what I imagine for the song. So, and we've always talked about, and you know, you all mentioned it a little bit with Western artists and how they don't have it, they don't have life easy trying to make it in the K-pop world. And I think Eric, as an Asian American from literally Atlanta, Georgia, is such a good role model for a lot of Asian Americans, you know, killing it. And I think that just wanted to throw him some love.
I will never forget the story that he told when he, I think it was when he first, or one of his first recordings in Korea, and he was, like, of course, learning Korean, and he was singing a song, and, like, the way he pronounced love was too, like, Americanized for them, and so the PD would be like, no, love, or, like, however the Korean pronunciation would be. And so I don't know why that story always sticks out to me.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone through it, so I'm excited to see where his career continues to take us, and
look forward to it.
Yeah, I just wanted to, on his 8th anniversary, that's a long time. What was I doing 8 years ago to this day? I have no idea. But yeah.
He's been posting little, like, bits from his album this entire week on his Instagram story. Like,
a new album? Snippets.
No, not a new album, like a reflection of this album that Nathan is recommending.
Oh, you know what? I think I saw that.
Yeah, and he puts like little comments in it.
Yeah, because after this album, he tried to go for a more dance pop hit, and it was good. It was a bop, but
Paradise. When
I liked Runaway.
No, it was
Paradise.
Yeah, it was Paradise.
Okay. I liked it.
No, I liked it too, but when you give Eric Helm a mic and just his voice, that's where he excels, where he doesn't have to worry about his dancing. He doesn't have to 100%. Worry. 100%. Just gives his soul out there, you know?
Oh my gosh, I just remembered the music show performance. I'm cringing.
It's good. It's not bad. It's just, you know, when he...
What music show performance?
It's a good song, Paradise. It's a very, very good song. I love upbeat it is. It's just Eric Nam cannot... I mean, you're a talented artist, Eric, okay? I'm going to talk like we're deep, okay? Like we're BFFs right now. You're a great artist. But it's okay if you don't have to do choreo in your song.
Right, and he's experimented with choreo here and there. I think that because, you know, it was pandemic, he went back to Korea. And that's what they expect. But, you know, when you just give Eric a mic and he's singing, that's all you need. And I think this is the epitome of that. Like, Love, Die Young. That was it. But yeah, so that's it for our recommendations for the cycle. But before we end, since it's Chris's first time back in for the new year, we wanted to hear about her resolution for 2021. So, Chris, did you have one by any chance?
Yes, I do. So I am a product of my fixed sign. And so I am very, very loyal, and I stay within the same, like, the algorithm that social media has. They can pin me to a T because that's how loyal I am and how predictable
Fossa,
I am.
Fossa, Mark.
Yeah.
CL. Big Bang, CL.
Man, I'm getting off topic. So because of this, my New Year's resolution will be to purposely seek new artists and change my algorithm on YouTube.
Nice.
Because right now, my YouTube algorithm is only NCT and SHINee. So I still want some SHINee content. You know, we have a comeback to look forward to. But
yes, we do.
I need to push my algorithm to show me new things in my recommended. So that's my New Year's resolution.
Ooh, that's a good way to gauge your progress, too, is to see what artists that you're getting recommended.
Yeah.
You can really pinpoint where it's starting to change.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yes. Well, we're going to revisit exciting. In just 10-ish months. So where we'll all be put our feet to the fire to see if we...
We're still in pandemic, so plenty of time. It's still March 1st, 2020.
That's true. Right. Thank you all to the listeners for tuning in to this episode. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Idol Talk Pod. And until next time, we will talk to you all later. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.